How would you assess your personal shot selection tonight?
It was okay.
Follow up, when you said it was okay, what would you have liked to have done differently?
Made shots.
Yeah! Yeah! NBA Strayer! How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Monday, May 6th. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to sling me some of that sweet, sweet folding stuff. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today. Breaking down, wrapping up after every day of NBA action while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. Just what we do here. All right. Epic weekend of NBA playoffs to wrap up for you today. We had four overtimes in Portland and Denver Game 3. That was wild. We had a nail biter in Golden State and Houston. That was awesome. We had Kawhi taking over as well. So that's all going to be covered in weekend winners and losers. All the usual dumbassery. If that's not an iPhone, mate, no, mate. Spud of the night, pantsing evening, better than Lonzo Ball, dickhead of the weekend. And of course, there's Yeah Nah, there's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. We've also got a brand new Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence, and a look at the odds and a pick and preview for tomorrow's Game 4s between Bucks Celtics and Rockets Warriors. Nice. We're even going to close out with a brand new deli review with a deli spoiler-free review of Avengers Endgame. All right, sure. Thanks, Manny Dellavedova. All right, it's going to be great. At least I really hope it is. It's NBA Story episode 279. Let's go.
This is Miss Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the shark attack.
Wow, you better. Oh, you better watch out for the swiping hands of Draymond Green again if you're James Harden, huh? Jesus, Draymond. Be less dirty, would you? Holy crap. Anyway, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily... Flip around, that's right. The Phoenix Suns have hired Monty Williams. That's pretty good. That's right. 76ers assistant coach Monty Williams, former coach of the New Orleans Pelicans. Back when they were actually the Pelicans, not the Pelicans. He is now the next Phoenix Suns coach, apparently. I mean, apparently the Suns announced it on Friday. Sure. The deal is apparently for 5 years, according to ESPN's Woj. He's the seventh coach in 8 seasons. For the Suns. I'm sure this will end up great. Nah, I love Monty Williams. I actually met him when I was in Philly earlier this season, I guess, for the NBA. That was pretty fun. Legendary guy. Love him heaps. Best of luck on the Suns there, Monty Williams. Nice. Some Laker news.
The Lakers stink!
That's right, Stephen A. Smith, but they're also proceeding towards an offer, apparently, to Tyronn Lue. Going to get stepped over by LeBron James in another coaching role. That sounds great, doesn't it? Apparently, the Lakers have no more plans to introduce other candidates into their head coaching search right now. So it seems like Ty Lue is the guy. We talked about that last week. It'd be fucking stupid not to do it. Just have, another coach that LeBron can undermine. So just get Ty Lue, the one that he wants. Nice. Speaking of the Lakers, LeBron James and Lonzo Ball bitched about Magic Johnson on HBO's The Shop today. LeBron's pretty meh TV show. Apparently, LeBron heard Magic quitting from his mate. And he's like, what the fuck? It turns out it was real. And he's like, so it was just weird for him to be like, I'm out of here, said LeBron. And not even have to have no like, hey, Bron, kiss my ass. I'm out of here. I would have been okay with that. I mean, would you have been LeBron? If Magic called you up, hey, LeBron, kiss my ass. I'm quitting. LeBron's like, all right. Sure. Meanwhile, Lonzo's just sort of sitting there like a fucking stupid look in his face. Like, I didn't know. I was like, that shit's crazy. Thanks for your input there, Lonzo. Glad to have you on the show. Anyway, the Grizzlies. Give me some Grizzlies news. That's right. Warriors assistant Jaron Collins apparently interviewed with the Grizzlies for their head coaching job today. They've also recently interviewed Yaz. That's the Utah Jazz. I believe it's a soft J. Assistant Alex Jensen. That's a hard J. Jensen. Big Simo Ben Simmons got fined $20K for his inadvertent, I'm still arguing that, elbow to Kyle Lowry's old fella and family jewels. Was that last Friday? Fuck off. I'm going to yell about this a little bit later. Some injury news. Marcus Smart reckons he's good to go tomorrow. He's been out since an oblique tear in the last home game of the season for the Celtics when they lost to the Magic 116-108 April 7. So that's a little bit earlier than we'd probably expect. It's only been 4 weeks. It was meant to be 4 to 6 weeks for Smart. Interesting. And obviously no Malcolm Brogdon for Game 3. Bucks Celtics. We're still waiting on word to see if he's going to go tomorrow. All right, let's do some weekend winners, shall we?
Oh, my God. I won! I won! Ah! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is me, Kent Brockman. Can we get a shot of me? There you go.
There you go.
In other news, tragic mix-up today in Cleveland. Many people killed. Goodbye.
I love it. All right, weekend winners for this weekend. How about the coward snake, Kevin Durant? Oh, but James, they lost. Yes. But it wasn't the fault of the coward snake, Kevin Durant, now, was it? He had 46 and took over that game three. It's not his fault Steph fucking Curry missed 7 shots in the restricted area. The most by a Warrior in 20 years. Anyway, so if the Warriors fail to win the title, we all know that coward snake, Kevin Durant, can sort of walk away going, hey, man. Not my fault. I wash my hands of this. Not my fault. I did everything. Everyone's like, all right, so cool. Good job, coward snake Kevin Durant. You are a weekend winner. Kawaii. reminded everybody today that he's an absolute fucking monster. We're going to talk about Kawaii a lot this episode. Don't worry about it. Other weekend winners, people who like to whinge about the refs, including yours truly. Some pretty interesting games, wasn't there? Boston. Had a lot to whinge about in that Bucks loss on Saturday. The Blazers fans today, there's a lot going on there. The Warriors fans were, oh, but there was a foul on Chris Paul, bro. It was even in the last 2 minute report. Considering that Draymond kept punching James Harden in the face, I will shoot you in the face out of the blue. Anyway, Warriors fans, a lot of whinging going on about the refs. So if you like to whinge about the refs, you had a lot to talk about. So you're weekend winners. Weekend losers are the rest of us. James Harden is a weekend winner. Got to prove that he's kind of funny when he was asked about his eyes and, you know, all being fucked up. He's like, what do you mean? What do they look like? And Chris Paul's like, ah, they looked all fucked up, man. We still love you, though. James Harden, kind of funny. Also dropped 41 with a couple of fucked eyes. Everyone's like, damn, James, that's pretty badass. Nice. Other weekend winner, his teammate, Chris Paul. That's right. They won that game three. So Chris Paul avoids having how shit he's been pointed out at large. Instead, Steph Curry copped that. So he bricked a couple more wide open threes in this game. Nearly cost the Rockets the game as well with a horrible play to end regulation where his plan seemed to be dribble into traffic, ? Profit? And then end up like winning the jump ball. What the fuck were you doing, Chris Paul? That was wild. Other winners, Jam and Jamal Murray. First nugget since Carmelo Anthony in 2010 to have back-to-back 30-point playoff games. That's pretty badass.
Oh, but I thought he was bad.
And CJ McCollum in the 4-overtime game. Holy crap, he was amazing, wasn't he? Kept the Blazers in it a bunch of different times. And then he and Rodney Hood, Spud Hood, got their own quasi-Dame Lillard moments. Where they sort of had like, he saved the game. Oh, he's won the game. And other weekend winner, Rodney Hood, suddenly remembered how to be good at basketball in this series. Yeesh. Pretty wild times, isn't it? I mean, also the Milwaukee Bucks, their weekend winners, because they just cruised over to the old, the Celtics yesterday. That was pretty handy. Got to feel, that was Saturday, wasn't it? Jesus, a couple of days ago. That's why I keep forgetting. And good on him. Giannis Antetokounmpo was awesome. So good job, Bucks. They're up 2-1 now. What about weekend losers, though? Let's check that out. Weekend losers, you say?
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up.
Loser.
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 Loser. All right, so weekend losers. Well, we just mentioned Rodney Hood being a weekend winner. That means LeBron James somewhere is a weekend loser because not only is he stuck not being in the playoffs and on a crappy Lakers team, but he also had to hang out with Alonzo Ball while watching Iman Shumpert, Rodney Hood, and George Hill tear it the fuck up in the playoffs. You know he's punching walls during the fucking shooting of that HBO show right now. Hang out with Alonzo as well. Like, that's just more salt on the wound. He's like, fuck, man. My old teammates are tearing it up. They're in the playoffs. I'm fucking stuck here with this spot. Jesus. Anyway, weekend loser Steph Curry. Mentioned it just before in the Chris Paul bit. Had a horrible game three, did Steph. Missed 7 shots in the restricted area, as we mentioned. Went scoreless in the fourth quarter and overtime. And just to rub salt in the wound, saw his brother go off. So, according to the rules, he's now the shit one. That's right. Seth the shit one Curry is no longer the shit one. That's Steph the shit one Curry, apparently. Seth went bananas. It was awesome. So I guess he's a weekend winner too, Seth Curry. Guess he lorded over his brother, but they lost, so he doesn't really get to count. The Warriors' air of invincibility is also a bit of a weekend loser after they paid tribute to the Spurs by fucking up the end of overtime versus the Rockets in that game three. How was that? That was wild, wasn't it? They just let them dribble out the clock to win. It's like, ah, oh, Steve Kerr, I know that you love Greg Popovich, but you don't have to emulate everything he does. Jesus. That was wild. We're going to talk about that in a bit. The Sixers are weekend losers because, dudes, they're up in the fourth today. Then they didn't score a field goal for over 6 minutes straight. Holy shit. You're up 2-1. You fired up your fan base. Everyone's excited. And then you crap your pants in the fourth quarter in a game four at home where you could basically seal out the series. What are you doing? Well, the weekend losers are really Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid as well. Holy shit. Tobias Harris couldn't answer a Kawhi 3 in the last minute with about 40 seconds left to get them back within 1. Clanks it. Easy shot. Tobias, what are you doing, mate? The never nude. Big Simo Ben Simmons was brutally ineffective in that fourth quarter as well. Kills me to say it, but he was. And Joel Embiid keeps getting sick. Apparently he had a 6 a.m. IV drip before this game. Texted Brett Brown to be like, boss, I might be sick today. I'll see how I go. I'll message you when I go to the doctor. Holy shit, stay with the cheesesteaks, Joel. I mean, they're not the most hygienic of meats, you know? Especially the places I've seen in and eaten in Philly. Yeah. Come on, Joel. Other weekend losers, Boston dropping that game three at home in a pretty meh, uninspiring fashion was not a great look. You can bitch and moan about all the refs all you want, but damn. And finally, weekend losers, the Blazers. Oh, but James, they won the 4 overtime game. Yes. But then they went out as the home team and lost the next game at home. I mean, you've not gone anywhere, Blazers. What are you doing, mate? Anyway, they had not much going through all that game, and it was a bit rough to watch. So, all right, let's wrap up the weekend's games. We have Milwaukee at Boston, game 3. That was a fun one. Milwaukee win at 123-116. And when I say fun one, I mean not very fun at all. Holy shit. Refs, huh? Refs. The Celtics actually led this at the half. And they were right there with them for most of the game, but then a 40-31 third quarter did them in, basically. Milwaukee sort of just came out and gave them the old clamps, especially in the second half of that third quarter. And then it was just kind of over. They ended up trailing by 17 in the fourth quarter, and you're like, oh, all right, the game's done. Holy shit. They had a couple of sniffs. Kyrie missed a couple of shots. Rose missed every shot he took. And it was brutal. It was a slow-ass game, too, as well. Holy shit. Giannis Antetokounmpo only had 13 field goal attempts, and he had 16 points from free throws, which is pretty crazy. 53 total fouls were called this one. 39 of them in the second half. Some bullshit ones there, too. Jalen caught one hardcore just on the perimeter against Eric Bledsoe, where Bud seemed to complain to the ref, and then Jalen took a step towards Bledsoe and had a foul called on him. It's like, what the fuck is going on? Anyway, it wasn't all the refs. The Celtics, they shot 43%. Tied it up in the rebounding stakes, 44-44, but 18 turnovers led to 28 Milwaukee points. Not great. Kyrie was rubbish in game 2, and then game 3 didn't shoot great, 8 of 22, but still ended up on 29 points. A lot of free throws for Kyrie in this one. It was pretty good. I mean, it's just a lot of fouls in this, obviously. He went 11 of 12 from the free throw line, did Kyrie. He also chucked in 6 assists, 4 turnovers. I mean, he was there. He was like right there for a lot of this game, but then couldn't quite get them over the hump.
Average L Horford had 17, 8, and 5. Only 8 field goal attempts, though, for Average L. And he went 3 of 5 from 3. So he's only taken 3 shots inside the 3-point arc. I feel like you need to take more. Jason Tatum, the rich man's Harrison Barnes, he finally broke out. He had 20 points. He had 9 points total this series before that game. Went 7 of 14 from the floor, but 0 of 5 from 3, which was a tough one. He hit, missed one from the corner that was an absolute backbreaker in the third quarter. 11 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals as well for him, for his easily the best game for him of this series. Jaylen Brown continued his sterling play, 18 points on 6 of 12 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3 for him as well. Fouled out, though. Pretty wild.
Poor Jaylen.
He was the only Celtics starter with a plus-minus. He was plus 10. Plus-minus. There you go. Plus 10 for the game. And Mook Morris had a very similar game to his game two. He had, 16 points in that. He had 16 in this one on 6 of 8 shooting, 4 of 5 from downtown. 16 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks for him. But the bench, 4 of 17 shooting between Gordo and Semi Ojeleye, because Terry Rozier had a shocker in his 14 minutes. He went 0 of 3. Total for 0 points, Terry Rozier. Not so scary, scary Terry. Gordon Hayward, 33 minutes for 10 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. He was a minus 8 and only shot 2 of 8, though. And, Shemi, he was out there for 11 minutes checking Giannis. He was pretty good on D. His offense, 2 of 4, 2 of which were from downtown. 2 of 3 shooting from long range for 6 points. Just not enough, though, from that Boston bench. And there you go. I mean, Daniel Tice got out there for 3 minutes as well. Did nothing, 0 of 1. Same with Aaron Bangers-Baines in his 2 minutes, 0 of 1. And they couldn't do much. So, there you go. Bucks, they shot 50% from 3, the starters. 16 of 32, pretty bloody good. They shot 50% from overall, 42-83. They went. It was pretty bloody good. Great shooting by the Bucks. Good on them. Giannis finishes with 32 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 assists on only 13 field goal attempts. What? That is absolutely wild, isn't it? 32 points on 13 shots. 22 times he went to the free throw line and hit 16 of them. 16! 16 free throws. No, 16, mate. 8 assists, 5 turnovers. Pretty bloody good. He was a plus 7 for the game. Chris O'Middleton, he had 20 points on 12 shots. He was pretty good. 3 of 6 from downtown for him. 13 for Nikola Mirotic. Wow, look at very thick beard. He's gone. He's can shoot now. It's okay. 13 points, 3 rebounds for him. 3 of 7 from downtown. Bledsoe, a bit of a shocker. 9 points on 4 of 15 shooting. And Brook Lopez, 1 of 4 from downtown for the big fella. 7.6 rebounds and 2 blocks for him. The bench was pretty good, though, because Georgie Porgy Hill went off. He had a massive game. 9 of 12 from the floor, 2 of 3 from downtown for 21 points. And you just know that somewhere LeBron was punching a wall going, where the fuck was this in the finals last year, you dickhead? There's a lot of that. so 21, 4 and 3 for George Hill. Pat Connaughton, lifelong Celtics fan, 4 of 9 from downtown, 5 of 11 overall for his 14 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals. And Ersan Ilyasova, hello. 1 of 1 from downtown for him, 5 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. Pretty bloody good. Tony Snell, our Dark Prince, got 2 points as well. But man, Bucks were just very efficient. 50% shooting from the field, 40% from 3. Absolutely wild times. Missed 12 free throws, but Jesus. Eric Bledsoe missed all 4 of his. Can you believe that? But anyway, Bledsoe versus Rose. Bit of a wash in this one. 9 points for Bledsoe, but that came on 4 of 15 shooting. Rose had 0 points and 0 of 3 shots. So there you go. Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. They go up 2-1 heading into game 4 tomorrow. All right, let's talk about Portland-Denver, game 3 and 4. Game 3 was the 4 overtime game. That was absolutely wild. Just insane, like absolutely insane. Everybody was rooted by it. Rodney Spud Hood came in the overtime, fresh legs, won the game with a go-ahead game-winning 3. Absolutely crazy. This was an NBA postseason record-tying 4th overtime. Only the 2nd quadruple overtime playoff game in NBA history. The other one was in 1953 between the Boston Celtics and the Syracuse Nationals. Jesus. Anyway, game 3 was wild, man. The Nugs, they missed 6 free throws, 3 crucial ones in the last minute that probably sank them in that last overtime. Nikola Jokic, hello, played 65 minutes. Absolutely nuts. Missed that free throw at the end that probably sealed the loss. And that was all over Red Rover. He had 33 points, 18 rebounds, and 14 assists. Jesus. It's pretty bloody good. 13 of 25 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, 8 turnovers, 2 blocks. God damn, he was good. Jam and Jamal played 55 minutes. He had 34 points, 14 of 32 shooting. Damn, he was good too. 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Paul Thrillsap, after 49 minutes, he had 17 points, 13 rebounds. The Dartsman, Gary Harris, 13 points for him on 12 shots. Fouled out. It was the only guy to foul out, actually, which is pretty weird because when you go 4 overtimes, one of the big sort of problems with the NBA is that you don't get a do-over on any of your fouls. You still foul out after 6, which is pretty crazy. The Dartsman was the only one to go, though. So Joker played 65 minutes and didn't foul out. Torrey Daniel Craig, with his broken face, he had 4.6 rebounds. 2 of 8 from the floor, though, and 0 of 3 from downtown for former NBL Defensive Player of the Year and ass kicker extraordinaire Torrey Daniel Craig. The bench, they had 26 points. Will the Thrill had 22 points. Malik Beasley, look, it was a bit of a weird one. These bench guys for the old Nugs, because you're like, oh, they're pretty good, aren't they? Well, Malik Beasley had 11 and 5. But then Monty Morris and Mason Plumdog Millionaire Plumlee went 0 of 5 combined, including an 0 of 2 from 3. So they had 36 points total. But, yeah, only 2 of those dudes did basically anything. So, a bit of a rough one. Monty Morris falling off the face of the fucking planet's really hurting my heart. Because I love me some Monty Morris. The Blazers, in their 4 overtime games, they shot 42% from the field. Got out-rebounded again, 66-62. And again, won. Same thing happened in game 2. They shot 42%, got out-rebounded, and won. Crazy times, though. CJ McCollum led the way with 41 points on 39 shots, 4 assists, 4 steals, and had just some really big ball shots down the stretch. Dame Lillard, 28 points. Pretty quiet 28 from Dame. 10 of 24 for him. 2 of 9 from downtown. Enes the Penis Kanter chucked in 18 and 15. 15 and 10 for Mo Harkless. Amino at 6 and 12 as well with 4 assists. A lot of minutes played there. 60 minutes. That's an entire hour of basketball for CJ. 58 for Dame. Off the bench, Zachy Collins. He had 8 and 8. He was awesome. Seth the Shit One Curry had 5 points on 1 of 6 shooting. Evan the Villain Turner was horrible again. We'll talk about him later. Rodney Spud Hood had 19, including the go-ahead. And there you go. They get that 141-37 after 4 overtimes. Everyone's rooted. An amazing game. Great job, Blazers. Unfortunately, they turned around in game 4. Dame missed a bunch of free throws and kind of cost them this one as well, which was a bit of a shame, bro. 116, Denver ended up winning it 112. By 4 points. Absolutely wild there in Blazer Town. Bit of a rough one for the Blazers. They shot 48% and lost. Well, 47.6%, but still, I'm going to round up, whatever. They also got out-rebounded again, but they lost this time. 14 turnovers versus 8. Not going to quite do it. They had 10 less field goal attempts than the Nuggets as well. So a rough one for the Blazers in this one in game 4. Got hosed by the refs a couple of times. Pretty rough. Dame had a rough shooting night. He went 9 of 22. It was just like nothing was really quite sticking, was it? Like CJ was pretty good. He had 29 points and 10 of 20 shooting. Went 4 of 8 from downtown. But Mo Harkless, 4 points in 17 minutes. Aminu, 19 and 8. He was good. Enes the Penis Kanter, though, had a shocker. His left shoulder's buggered. He had 5 points and 10 rebounds in 29 minutes. Zachy Cakes Collins, couldn't really back up a pretty good game 3. 4 points for him. Set the Shit One Curry, went on a tear. 3 straight threes. He ends up with 16 points and went 4 of 6 from downtown. 6 of 9. Nice. From the field. And Rodney Spud Hood could not back up his heroics of game 3. He had 7 points in 24 minutes. I don't know. Maybe throw him the ball a couple more times there, Blazers. For the Nugs, I mean, Joker, another triple-double, 21, 12, and 11 for him. Jam and Jamal, 34 points, back-to-back. 2 34-point games. He was awesome. He went 10 of 20 from the field and 3 of 7 from downtown, including amazingly clutch free throw shooting down the stretch. What was it, like 6 free throws? He hit all of them in like the last 30 seconds. He was awesome. Great shit. Thrillsap, he had 21 and 10. Another double-double for him. Torrey, not Daniel Craig. 3 points, 1 rebound, 17 minutes for him. The Dartsman had 14 points on 14 shots. Again, some really good defense on Dame Lillard, too, for the Dartsman. The bench, a little bit of this game. 9 of 29 shooting. Will the Thrill Barton, 11 points, 4 of 14 shooting, but hit a couple of massive threes in the fourth quarter that really, really sank the Blazers. It was pretty tough to see it. He only went 3 of 8 from 3, but hit them when they counted. Classic Will the Thrill. Malik Beasley only had 6 points in this one, 4 for Plumdog Millionaire to go with 5 rebounds, and 2 points on 1 of 6 shooting for Monty Morris. Monty, mate, what has happened? You were tearing it up, and then all of a sudden, Jesus, he's shot 4 of, 22 for the series. Monty, mate, he hasn't hit a 3 either. He's gone 0 of 5. Killing me, mate. Anyway, there you go. Nuggets just sort of pound their way through to a win. 116-112. The series is all tied up. Entertaining as hell. This is great times. Loving it. Speaking of going to try it all, well, trying to tie it up in overtimes, Houston beat Golden State in overtime in Game 3 in Houston. 126-121. Nobody knows what the hell happened at the end of this game. The Warriors just went, ah, fuck it. We're down 5. We're not going to intentionally foul and try to extend this game. What are you going to do? We'll just let him dribble it out. What the fuck was that? What do you reckon, Stephen A. Smith?
What was that? What the hell was that?
I know, right? It was bananas. Anyway, pretty weird. Look, Eric Gordon smashed it in this game. He had 20 in the first half. Capella woke up. Rockets had a 9-point lead after the half. They got up by 13 in the third quarter. Golden State had 0 fast break points in the first half. The second time this season that's happened at all. Draymond hit a 3, though. He'd missed 16 straight threes, hit one at the end of the third to get it back down to 7, and then Golden State had a 15-2 run at the end of the third quarter and into the fourth to take the lead. Durant just started hitting everything. Like, literally straight as they came back from the three-quarter break, he hit a 3, like, within seconds. And then it was, oh! It was like, bang, air, Shumpert airball to 3, then Durant hit another bucket, then another, and then a 3. Golden State had the lead. It was all wild, wild times. But, you know, Harden hit a couple. They stuck with it and ended up tying it up. Chris Paul fucked it up at the end of regulation. Just some weird stuff going on with Chris Paul, dribbling into traffic and just going, I don't know. Oh, fuck. Got tied up. Jump ball. Won the jump ball. Apparently, you know, made a foul. But anyway, the big thing was Steph Curry just couldn't hit anything. Got it to overtime. Got it down to the end of the overtime. Harden hits a massive 3 to extend the like lead. And it's like, oh, shit, they're going to do it. Rockets up by 5. Steph gets the ball, goes up for the dunk, and completely, totally Grant Hill Sprite commercialed it. Obey your third.
Grant Hill. Grant Hill drinks Sprite?
Grant Hill drinks Sprite.
If you want to make it to the NBA, if you want a refreshing drink,
it was wild time. Blocked by the rim. If he hits that, it's 3 points, plenty of time. It's all over. And then they don't get it. Harden gets a rebound. They dribble the clock out. Game over. What the fuck? Jesus, crazy. Crazy. So 126-120, the Warriors, the coward snake, Kevin Durant is amazing. As mentioned, took over and was absolutely incredible. Nearly won the game himself. 46 points for him. Absolutely wild times. 14 of 31 from the field. Just sort of got a bit tired right down the stretch too. 6 of 10 from 3. Absolutely incredible. Steph was not good. 17 points on 7 of 23 shooting. We'll talk about him later. Klay had 16 points on 16 shots. Draymond had another triple-double. 19, 11, and 10 for him, as well as another punch to the face of James Harden. We'll talk about that in a second. Droses. And Iggy had 16 points again. Iggy is absolutely tearing it up in this series, and it's wild. I mean, if Iggy gets 16 points and he just keeps on doing it, he just keeps on having 16-point games. That's what he does, apparently, out of nowhere. He doesn't score all fucking year. And then in this series, he's like, oh, no, I'm good. He had 15 in the last game against the Clippers, 14 in game 1, 16 in game 2, and then 16 in this game 3. Absolute wild times. The bench only had 7 total points. The starters scored 114 total points for the Warriors. The bench chucked in 7. 3 from Livingston, 2 from Looney with 1 rebound in 13 minutes. Gross. And McKinney had 2 points in 8 minutes as well. Jarebko got out there for 4 minutes, went 0 of 1. Bogey was out there for 3 minutes. He was a minus 10 somehow. But yeah, the Rockets, 13 turnovers, out-rebounded them 55-35. That's how you win the game, man. Bench kept going on little runs without Harden as well, which is very handy. Harden ends up with 41 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. That was awesome. Eric Gordon had 30 points, 11 of 20, 7 of 14 from 3. He's made at least 3 three-pointers in all 8 playoff games so far this year. It's a playoff career high for him. He kept them in it, kept them going when Harden was missing. Gordon would just hit a massive shot out of nowhere. It was awesome. Chris Paul, 14 points.
Not great, mate. Not great.
14 points. What else did he have? It was like 14, 7 assists and 8 rebounds, 2 turnovers. But I don't know, man. Just something a little bit off. 4 of 8 shooting, 1 of 4 from downtown. Those big threes he misses. Clint Capela, 13 and 11. Pretty good for him. 6 of 9. Nice from the field. He fouled out too. PJ Tucker had 7 points, but got them all late when it counted because he's the toughest guy out there. For the bench, Austin Rivers. He was amazing at times. Defensive menace, Austin Rivers. He's the man with the most punchable face in the NBA, but pretty bloody good too. 8 points for him, 4 rebounds in 28 minutes. Shump woke up out of nowhere and hit a bunch of threes. He went 3 of 5 from 3. 1 airballed, but he hit 3 of the 4 of the other ones. Pretty good. Geraldo Green had 7 minutes for 0. Went 0 of 3 from the field. And Nene had 3 points too with 4 rebounds. So there you go, Rockets. Absolutely wild one. They get one on the board. Hakeem was happy. Clint Capela blocked Iguodala with both hands in the air. That was unreal. Rockets get one in there. 2-1, Warriors lead. And then finally today, Toronto-Philly, game 4. Philly lose it just in just kind of disappointing fashion. It was just a kind of dead one down the stretch, wasn't it? 101-96. I already mentioned basically Simmons sort of disappeared down the stretch. Tobias Harris couldn't hit a shot, and Joel Embiid had the shits again. So a bit of a tough one. Embiid was 6, as mentioned. IV at 6 a.m. that day. The Sixers were down 1 at the half. Should have been a lot more. So you're right. You're thinking, going, all right, well, they should be fine, right? They got up in the third. They're up in the fourth quarter. And then, as mentioned, crap the bed. Didn't hit a field goal for over 6 minutes in the fourth quarter after being up. Just gross, man. The Raptors' defense got them. And, you know, Kawhi. Just out there being a menace. Embiid, as mentioned, was sick. He had 11 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, only 7 field goal attempts, passing up open threes, went 0 of 1 from downtown. He was still a plus 17, which is crazy. Just shows you how good he is defensively. A couple of really good blocks, too. Jimmy Butts is the only one playing any fucking sort of consistent basketball for the Sixers. He was magnificent again. 29 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 of 7 from downtown, 9 of 18 overall. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, not enough impact really for him. 10 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 0 turnovers, but was a minus 16. He was the worst Sixer starter by a lot. Tobias Harris shot like shit, going 7 of 23. Kobe! And 2 of 13 from 3. Jesus, Tobias. Come on, he hits a couple more of those. The game is probably the Sixers. He has 16 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. JJ Redick goes 6 of 9. Nice. From the floor, including 4 of 7 from 3 for his 19. But it just felt like a bit of a waste. It's like he hit a couple of shots to get them back within sniffing distance as well, but they just couldn't get over the hump. Kawhi hits the go-ahead, the sort of dagger 3 with 1 minute, 1 second left, and they couldn't get back within. No Jonah. Boban got it there for 0.4 of a second to guard the inbounder at the end of the first half, which was hilarious and amazing. But the Raptors, man, they just did it. They shot 46%. They were pretty good. Like, they were just really, really solid all the way, but it was Kawhi who did all the damage. 39 points for him, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. He was awesome. 7 turnovers, though, but still 13 of 20 shooting, including 5 of 7 from downtown. He was remarkable. We're going to talk about him later. Pascal Siakam was dubious to go and was 0 of 7 to start this game. Ends up with 2 of 10 shooting for 9 points, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. He went 0 of 4 from downtown. Was a bit of a liability, but sort of gave his all still. 16, 5, and 3 for Mark Coach Killer Gasol. He finally fucking woke up. Big El Spinato. 6 of 13 for Big Buddha Carl Lowry. When he's not putting his butt in Ben Simmons' face, he's out there scoring 14 points and having 7 assists. He was pretty good. Still only 2 of 6 from 3. Danny, not the boxer, Green had 11 points too. 1 of 4 from the field for him. But it was Serge Ibaka who finally did fucking something. So he and Gasol had a much better game with a very limited Joel Embiid. Obviously, they sort of feasted. 12.6 rebounds for Serge, including 3 blocks. And Embiid sent a Ibaka dunk all the way back, which was amazing to watch. But yeah, Other than that, there wasn't too much going on. Fred VanVleet of the Fightin' Van Vliet had another Barry Crocker shocker. He's just like, I don't know what's happened to Fred VanVleet, but he scored 4 points this entire series. Yeah, not great, bro. Not great. Norm Powell, I mean, also pretty bloody bad in this one. 4 minutes, 0 points. Pat McCarr, 0 points too. So Serge is the only bench player to score anything for the Raps. But they get the win, man, so it's all tied up. Kawhi Leonard versus the 76ers is now 15-2 all-time. And the Raps and Jurassic Park are all stoked. 101-96 winners. 2-2. We have that series all tied up. So the two series that are in Game 4 are tied up, which is awesome. And the other two series are 2-1. So he's hoping we get all tied series after tomorrow. All right, let's do it. The NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Weekend.
That's not that nice. That's a knife.
Kawhi! I mean, he finished with 39, 14, and 5 on 65% shooting and hit the massive fadeaway three with about a minute to go to keep the Rabbits, the Raps up 4. Absolutely crazy. We'll talk about him later. Harden, 41, in particular that three-pointer with 49 seconds left that he hit to make it 124-118. That was insane and the real reason the Rockets won. But I want to give the NBA Story Approved Performances of the Weekend to Nikola Jokic. Hello! Back-to-back triple-doubles. He has 4 so far in this playoff run out of 11 games. In Game 3, he had 33, 18, and 14 in 65 minutes. Looked absolutely fucking gassed. But then comes back, wins Game 4, 21, 12, and 11. He was absolutely unreal. Now only the 7th player with 4 triple-doubles in a single postseason in NBA history is Nikola Jokic. He joins Wilt Chamberlain, Magic Johnson, Oscar Robertson, LeBron James, Jason Kidd, and Rajon Rondo. Sure. But incredible stuff by the Joker. Great shit. And it's just this entire Blazer Nugget series is absolutely unreal. So hook it to my veins. What about old mate no mates though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, is it Kyle Lowry? Kawhi Leonard's trainer tweeted 33 million and 0 game about Kyle Lowry after game 3 and then deleted it. But actually, old mate, no mates is LeBron James. That's right. How's LeBron, mate? He's hanging out with fucking Lonzo on this goddamn HBO show, like your mum making you play with your little brother or something. So not only is he stuck not being in the playoffs, he also hang out with Lonzo Ball while watching Iman Shumpert, Rodney Hood, and George Hill, his former teammates, absolutely fucking tear it up, just going, where the fuck was this? Where the fuck was this last year, you pricks? I mean, he traded Shump for George Hill. He had Spud Hood. He disa-fucking-peered. George Hill crapped the bed and missed the free throw that basically could have sealed game 1. Everyone's like, oh, J.R. Smith's a fucking moron. He ran the other way after that miss and got the rebound and thought he was like, oh, stupid J.R. If George Hill just hits the fucking free throw and instead of bottling it, it's not a problem. Jesus. Anyway, so LeBron James is just going to be sitting there fucking fuming, half cut on a couple of bottles of Merlot. What do you reckon? Pissy? Jesus. Anyway, good job, LeBron. Spud of the night.
Spud of the night.
Steph Curry. Oh, Jesus. Game 3, 7 of 23 from the field, 2 of 9 from downtown, 1 of 3 from the free throw line. What the fuck? 3 turnovers, 5 fouls, scoreless in the fourth quarter and overtime, missed 6 layups and was 0-7 in the restricted area. Absolutely crazy. In the fourth quarter and overtime, he went 0 of 6 for 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks, a turnover, and 4 fouls. Steph, what the hell, mate? Absolutely wild. For the series, he's only averaging 18 points. He's shooting 25% from the field, 8 of 32. And for the series, overall, he's 18 of 52. That's 36% shooting. And he's getting 3 turnovers and 5 fouls in each of the 3 games against the Rockets. Absolutely Budworthy. But also, honorable mentions go to Evan Turner and Fred Van Vliet of the Fightin' Van Vliets. 4 points each the entire series in their respective series. Evan Turner has been shocking. I think, you know, they're just taking the ball out of his hand a lot more, so he's not having to score. CJ and Dame are out there, but man, he can't spread the floor. He's not hitting shots. And Fred Van Vliet is just falling off the fucking face of the planet. Panting in the night. What do you reckon? A couple of good ones. Joel Embiid blocking Ibaka at the rim was pretty badass today. But Clint Capella sending Iggy back with two hands had Hakeem Olajuwon himself in rapture. That was awesome. But really, it's got to be Steph Curry blowing that dunk. Basically, to get them back within three, he's got it open. He's fucked it up. What are you doing, Steph? In front of the world, he's been absolutely pantsed. Poor little Steph Curry. I mean, this is what happens when you're a 6'3" preteen. Tough one. But yeah, missing a wide open dunk, shacked in a fool to the absolute extreme. Steph Curry, pantsing the weekend. Better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for everybody, as long as everybody's hanging out with me and my best friend LeBron on HBO's The Shop. Jesus. Because, I mean, hanging around and being blindsided by Magic Johnson's decision to leave the Lakers must mean it's bowling season.
It's bowling season!
Yeah, I mean, better stock up on your Big Baller brand merch because they're going out of business because his dad's best mate stole $2 million off him. So have you got your merch? You better get it.
Steve-o.
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Thanks, Lonzo. I better get that merch. Anyway, Zach Collins is better than Lonzo Ball for this weekend. In the two games, he had 8 and 8 in game 3 with 2 assists, a steal, and a block. And game 4, 4 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, and 2 blocks again. Out there crushing it. Not bloody bad considering it looks like a 32-year-old lesbian who just bought her first Subaru Outback. Nice one. Dickhead of the week, though. Let's do that. Well, dickhead of the weekend, I guess.
Dickhead of the week!
And Draymond Green. So James Harden, not only has he scratched him across the fucking face once and fucked his eyes up, has old Draymond, but decided to do it again. He's like, oh, yeah, James Harden can see just well enough to shoot. I'll fix that. Whacks him across the fucking face once more. Draymond, absolute shitbird. You are our dickhead of the weekend. We're going to talk about this in a second. Yeah, nah. But yeah, easily Draymond wins it. Shithead move. Draymond, pull your fucking head in, mate. All right. Yeah, nah. After this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Yeah, nah. We take a bunch of NBA storylines and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, is Draymond Green the dirtiest player in the NBA? Yeah, nah, yes! Fuck, yes. Did you see him hitting Harden in the face again? Mate, it's a pattern of behavior at this point. It's not of him, you know, kicking dudes in the junk or scratching their fucking faces. Oh, it's just Draymond's natural eye-poking motion. How's the list of Draymond shitbird moments? Elbows Blake Griffin in the head. I mean, we all kind of want to do that. Hitting Mike Conley's broken face. Absolute fucking shitbird move. Kicking Steven Adams in the groin not once, but twice. Yanking Steven Adams to the ground by his arm. Absolute prick of a fucking move. Throat punching Dante Kangaroo Kobe Exum. You bastard. Breaking Jonas Valanciunas' hand by coming down on it with a closed fist and swinging as hard as he fucking could. Kicking Marquise Chris's hand. Drop kicking at James Harden's face. Flipping Marcus Smart upside down in the air. Poking LeBron James in the eye in the finals last year and then calling him a fucking pussy. Poking James Harden in the eye the other day. Poking him in the eye again yesterday. Kicking LeBron in the loaf twice. Just absolutely. What, you almost kick fucking Kyrie Irving as well in the face. Don't forget in the finals. Out of nowhere. He's just like, oh, I'm falling. And just like fucking decided to try to kick Kyrie in the face. He kicked at Blake when he was on the ground. And also spun Michael Beasley. Super cool Bees on the ground too. And he's like, oh, a bit, People who don't play basketball don't know how bodies are meant to move. I've played enough basketball to know that I don't try to fucking fly kick dudes in their head, Draymond, you prick. Or scratch their eyes out, you bush. Ah, damn. Dirtiest player going. Anyway. Number two, is Jamal Murray underrated? Yeah. That's just because he's inconsistent. When he's on, he's on. 34 and 34 over the weekend, looking great. First Nugs player with 30 points in consecutive playoff games since Melo in 2010, as mentioned. But still, he's underrated because who's going to be that surprised if in game five he comes out and drops a 12-piece on like 5 of 14 shooting or something, you know? So he's got to be consistent to be actually properly rated. Can Houston get it up to 2-2 tomorrow? I want to say yeah, but I'm going to say nah. This is like the proper Golden State demoralizing game four victory, isn't it? Where the Warriors go, you've got one. It was a tough one, but we gave it to you at the end of the game. And then they just come out and fucking shit pump them in game four. Pretty weird. Speaking of the Warriors, hey, is Steph Curry bad now? Oh, no. It's just a rough matchup, I guess. A bit of a tough series. Eric Gordon has been so fucking good in this series. Between him and Austin Rivers, they've kept Steph to a fucking... Well, he and Chris Paul as well. Just really... It's the classic, you know, what's the book on Steph Curry? Hit him. Hurt him. Hit him again. Hit him again. Hit him again. And suddenly he's not as effective, huh? That's what's happening right now. Going to be really interesting to see if the Warriors... If this goes five... Well, if it goes six or seven games... How Steph comes out of this series is going to be fucking fascinating, isn't it? Nice. Finally, last year, is Kawhi the second best player in the NBA? Maybe it's either him or Giannis, and it might be him. He's averaging 38 points a game on 62% shooting this series. Curry can be schemed out of stuff. We're seeing that in the Rockets series. Same thing has happened to Giannis here and there against the, was it last year against the Celtics and again this year against the Celtics. Whereas Kawhi just goes, I mean, you can try to scheme me out of it, but I'm just going to hit threes and do a lot of other amazing step backs and just cool shit. Fuck you. It's like him and Durant. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, cool. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
He might have got fined 20 grand, but I still don't reckon Big Simo Ben Simmons intentionally elbowed Kyle Lowry in the nuts on Friday. I think I posted the video and was like, Kyle Lowry puts his ass, his big booty Kyle Lowry put that big old booty on Ben Simmons' head. If you ever played footy, ever played basketball, someone puts their ass in your head, you want to get that ass right off it real quick before they fart and give you fucking pink eye. Ben Simmons was just protecting himself from getting fucking pink eye and looking like James Harden. For the NBA to fine him $20,000 for trying to protect himself when someone's putting their ass on your head is an absolute outrage. Go fuck yourselves. Just saying. I would have really gone to the NBA PA, Ben Simmons. Come on. Outback take, yes. Holy shit. It's Monday at Outback, and you know what that means at Outback Takehouse. That's right, Davo's hit another bloody emu in his ute. So we've got a special on the board today for you. Alice Springs Chicken. Only at Outback Takehouse. Goes great as a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is... The Sixers can't win games if they're not running more through Ben Simmons and not Tobias Harris. Because Tobias Harris has never been in a big spot before in his NBA career and fades when the lights are brightest. You saw it today when he couldn't match Kawhi Leonard's three and cost the Sixers the game. And there is no way this offseason, if I were a GM, that I'd give him the max. Tobias Harris is not a max player. Only at Outback. Australian Player Watch, after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, Australian Player Watch, let's do it. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, as mentioned at the top, did not have a sterling game for today. Just looked a little bit out of sorts, and like he had a couple of nice dunks and played okay defense, but yeah, just wasn't great. Not enough impact, as mentioned. 10-5-4 for him, 5-10 from the floor, but only, you know, zero turnovers, which is good, but a minus 16. Worst Sixer starter by a lot. Hopefully he bounces back, kicks some ass. He's been absolutely like a defensive menace too, so hopefully he can really sort of get back on track. Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, picked up a did not play coach's decision in game four. Yeah, since Mike Scott's come back, they've sort of just gone, oh yeah, Mike Scott, he's just going to shoot and we'll deal with it. Also, he's got a sweet headband. Maybe Jonah needs a sweet headband. Yeah, nice. Aaron Bangers Baines in game three against Milwaukee. He only played 2 minutes, went from 3-0-1. So the old hashtag Bangers 3-point watches are not going great guns so far this series, I'll tell you. In fact, well, I mean, his playoff run basically from three hasn't been that great either. So, Aaron Bangers Baines. Let's have a look at his 3-point shooting so far this postseason, shall we? Let's bring it up. All right, Bangers. Yeah, look, he went 1 of 2 against the Pacers, and he's gone 1 of 3 against Milwaukee. Tough. But he was only out there for 2 minutes, so look, I can't really fault him for launching that three. Andrew Bogut also got limited run on yesterday against Houston. 3 minutes, no field goal attempts, 0 points. He was only got one rebound. Somehow a minus 10 in 3 minutes. Was that when, like, I don't know, Eric Gordon just started mashing threes? It must have been. Nice. All right, well, what do we do on Monday? We harken back to the glory days of Australian basketball with Andrew Gaze, Grey Mamba, with the Andrew Gaze, Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Let's do it! It's the first Andrew Gaze, Grey Mamba! All right, clap them up. All right, here we go. The Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence goes to Kawhi. Holy shit, mate. I told you. 39 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists on 65% shooting, tying up the series, a crucial game for the Raptors, and he came up big time. I mean, he shot 13 of 20 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3, hit huge shots in the fourth, preventing that Sixers comeback, hit that huge three to really seal it all, and it was all over Red Rover. Absolutely wild times. And with that, that's the most 30-point performances in a single playoffs in Raptors history. He's got 6 in 9 games already. The best before that were 5 in 20 and 5 in 20 by DeMar DeRozan and Big Booty Kyle Lowry in 2016. Holy shit. So he also becomes the fifth player in NBA history to record 150 points, 30 rebounds, and 15 assists through the first 4 games of an NBA playoff series. The other 4 to do it were Michael Jordan, Rick Barry, Will Chamberlain, and Elgin Baylor. That's pretty bloody good company, don't you reckon? He's averaging 38 points a game on 62% shooting for the series. He's gone 55 of 89 from the floor and 15 of 28 from three. He's hit 45, 35, 33, and 39 points in the first 4 games versus Philly. He's just generally been a bad mofo. And Kawhi, you are easily the winner of the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence for this week. Holy shit, he's dominating, isn't he? All right, we'll be back with the Patty Bills Game Day Bowler Game Day Twitter check-in and the game previews right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, let's do it. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Bowler Game Day Twitter check-in. And look, we got a Patty Mills, you know, another amazing fit of him and his fiance in New York, looking fucking fine and fire, Patty Mills. Amazing work. Basically just them hanging out on the street in New York. And no comment. He just put up the photo. They look great. Iconic. absolutely iconic. But let's have a look at some actual inspiring stuff as well. How about Matthew Dellavedova out there on Instagram? Tweeted this out as well. Just it's a happy little Vegemite, his deli. Great first week with the @RealMcCoy. Clearly working out. He's got the flexing emoji and the thumbs up emoji. Big picture of deli with a thumbs up and the real one McCoy, who's apparently Paul McCoy. He's a trainer. Good stuff on your deli. And Jingling Joe Ingles, he's just out there tweeting out coffee emojis. Nice one. All right, let's do some game previews then, shall we? I'm inspired. I love it. All right, we've got two games tomorrow, so let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. How's the weekend?
Pretty good, man. A lot of beers. Jesus. Good times, though. A lot of basketball. Jesus. Cool. All right, let's do it. Game previews. We've got Milwaukee and Boston, game four. The Celtics are 1.5-point favorites at home, which is pretty wild, considering that they lost game three at home, and the Bucks just look really bloody good, don't they? I'm going to take the Bucks there, +1.5. Give me that in a second, in a heartbeat. I love that one. And then game four of Rockets Warriors. We have the Rockets, 1.5-point favorites at home. This is pretty weird. They've just gone with the home dogs at a... Well, not underdogs. They're just home favorites. That's wild. Rockets, 1.5 favorites over the Warriors. As mentioned, I fully expect the Warriors to come back and kick the absolute bejesus out of the Rockets in this one, +1.5. So I'll take the Warriors, +1.5, because this is just what the Warriors do. They lull you in a false sense of security. You're like, oh, we can tie up the series. And the Warriors go, yeah, nah, fuck yeah. We're just going to win by 15. How do you like that? Klay gets on one. He's hitting threes. Steph finally gets going. He's doing his stupid little shimmy in your house. You're embarrassed. James Harden suddenly can't hit the side of the fucking backboard. Chris Paul's spudding it up. Just laying it all out. But at the same time, look, wouldn't surprise me if the Warriors smash him or if the Rockets win this. That's how good this series is. So, but I will pick the Warriors +1.5 and Bucks +1.5. I'm going to take the two underdogs tomorrow, which is pretty funny because they're the 2-1 seeds. Nice. Cool. All right. That's it for today. Jesus, another long one. These weekend wraps are just massive, aren't they? All right, well, either way, we're back tomorrow with all the usual ridiculousness wrapping up those two game fours. It's going to be fun as hell. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Store on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to all that sort of stuff. Chuck us a rating. Write a review if you want to. Go on. Follow us on Spotify. Make sure you're all around us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over during the games doing whatever dumb shit we usually do. Get around NBAStraya.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, go to NBAStraya.com first. Hit the big fucking Amazon button on the right-hand side. And they will kick us a couple of shekels on the back end. So help us out. Support us. Come on, man. We're doing this daily. Yeah. Anyway, big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. But go check out their new band, House Hats. They are the best band in Australia right now. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out and it's unreal. Go smash it on Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. The vinyl is fucking great. I've got that and I've got a t-shirt. They're unreal. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Cool. That's it for today. We're going to finish up with a brand new Deli review as Deli does a spoiler-free review of Avengers Endgame. I love it. Nice one. All right. Should be good. Until then, man, we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen! Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? Your old mate Deli over here. Oh, yep, just taking a break from my rigorous off-season training to deliver you your latest up-to-date pop culture review for NBA Australia, right? So, like, how'd you just recover from that bloody epic Game of Thrones last week, eh? Like, you know, I reviewed it, fucking, it was pretty mental, and like, my missus is still talking about it, eh? Like, especially that bloody ending where it's like, oh, fucking shit. I just fucking shit up, man. This is sick. Anyway, so it's pretty good. I thought it was pretty bloody sick as well. I loved it. But geez, between watching that and then like getting out to watch this new Avengers Endgame and shit, I mean, it's amazing I was bloody able to do anything this week, mate. But I did post a pretty nice pic of Deli's favourite Avo on fucking toast, mate, which is pretty good. Just got out for breakfast the other day. Sukers, fucking good. If I could have one thing left over like and eat it forever, I reckon it'd be Avo. That or Vegemite, eh? And Corona tins. Anyway, so let's review Avengers Endgame, shall we? Alright, righto. So, straight off the bat, no fucking spoilers. Don't worry about that. Deli's got your back. But hey, don't you reckon more fuckers should have died in this? If you've seen it, you'd be like, I don't know, mate. Reckon more of them should have died. Just like Game of Thrones. Anyway, you're all like, fucking hell, man. I reckon at least a couple more of these jokers would be dead as, but whatever. So you go into it. And for a movie that goes for 3 bloody hours, there wasn't really any point where our mate Deli was bored or nothing, which I was a bit surprised by. I liked all the plot devices they used to tell the story and figure out how to take on Thanos and shit. And also, I dug the hell out of the start, where everyone's like all dealing with Thanos having killed every like bloody half the fucking population and shit. And everyone's like all fucking mopey and sad and like depressed and shit. It's pretty cool. It was like The Walking Dead, but like Avengers. Anyway, once they got going and shit and brought in a very sore, you know, when they brought in like that Thor bit. Oh, mate, I was fucking rolling. He was funny as hell, mate. Same goes for Hulk. I fucking love that Mark Ruffalo. And, like, this version of the Hulk reminds me a bit of my best mate back home in Maribyrnong, Plugger. Just the Plugger got that big thanks to pies and not bloody radiation, you know? So, anyway, I really liked how they were like, oh, shit, we're going to how to figure out how to beat this fucking Thanos prick. And we'll get everybody together that's, like, left, and we're going to figure it out. And it's like, oh, some of them are like, nah, we can't, fuck yous, nah. And, like, some of them, nah, we better. And they're like, oh, fuck. All right, we better figure this out, eh? So the plot machinations were fun. The characters, once more, were really well fleshed out. They're pretty bloody good. The inevitable big punch on as well was fucking gross. One of the most stunning things you'll ever watch. I mean, puts bloody Game of Thrones to shame. At least you could bloody well fucking see what was going on in this one, you know? So anyway, really, to wrap it all up, 3 hours, there's a lot of characters getting some nice little sort of setups and shit like that. And I thought it was a really good bloody culmination of like whatever fucking phase or bullshit Marvel reckons this is. The characters we spent all this time with were handled really well. It's just a bloody entertaining, rollicking good ride, I reckon. So, Avengers Endgame, I reckon I'll give it about 22 out of 10 Deli ones. Because they did it all justice and it was bloody good fun, you know? But I really wish I brought more Corona tins in when watching. I only had 6 on me. I polished those off in the first fucking 30 minutes. Then I needed to fucking take a piss for the next 2.5 hours. It was fucked. Anyway, so it's pretty teary moments. I wasn't entirely sure it was because I needed to piss so bad that I teared up. Because, like, bloody Deli doesn't cry that often, you know. But so blow it out your ass. But still, yeah. Good movie. Alright, so go see Avengers Endgame if you're into that sort of shit. It's fully grouse as. Alright. That's it for this week. I'll be back next week with another movie review or something else. All right, later, cunts. Deli out.